This weekend is not just about fireworks and hot dogs. America celebrates its independence. How did we get there? With some interesting and fun facts about Independence Day. It's Kyle the teacher. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. So where do you want to start?
Well, you know, to start, we got to know a little bit of our history. So the understanding of we were not an independent nation. We were brought over to kind of settle for the English, you know, Great Britain and their domination of the world. And, you know, after some grueling years being here by our own, the settlers started to get upset and they said, we want independence. But it was kind of tough because it wasn't for everybody. Very much like our country is now, you know, people had divided views and points of where their money needed to be spent. And a lot of people were just kind of like, we don't really want to be on our own. We're kind of cool with Britain doing their thing. So what if the tea is expensive?
A lot of taxes. And, you
know, yeah.
And we were sending all the best stuff back to them. Like you couldn't have wide planked floors.
Yeah.
We were sending all the best wood back there.
Yeah.
But you know, the funniest thing is a lot of people think, oh, it was the taxes. The colonies were the least taxed out of all of Great Britain's property. Like, they had it good. It was just that, much like today, nothing's too good, you know? So we went to war. And after 7 years of farmers and school teachers and tradesmen acting as soldiers and being beaten down, we accidentally won, which couldn't have been, you know, the greatest underdog story of them all, because the 13 colonies were actually 13 countries. Connecticut had their own laws that were very different from New York, and they had their own currency.
Really?
So why do we celebrate the 4th? It was more of, hey, you 13 kind of worked together. Good job. Here's a star.
was a good boy.
You know, and you know, it was kind of like, hey, pat on the back. You beat the greatest army, navy in the world by accident. Great job.
Was it by accident?
Weren't
we tactically superior? We started fighting the indigenous people here. We'd hide behind rocks and trees, and they were kind of like marching out there with red coats
just
and drums.
Shoot me, yeah.
Yeah.
There it was, you know, the use of guerrilla warfare. The British would very much march onto the battlefield with drums and trumpets to declare, this is war.
Yeah, that was to unnerve the enemy.
Like
you heard them coming.
Here we come.
And it would get in your head.
We're heading your way.
And we're like, oh, well, thanks for the warning.
Yeah, all right, cool. Hang on. I'll be sitting here, like, loading my musket.
Would you want to be the drummer in that scenario?
No.
Like, I'm not carrying a gun. I'm really loud.
Right.
I'm out front.
Right.
I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't do a good solo. I'm dead.
I can't play the drums.
That's what Wipeout came
from. Sorry, I don't have a beat.
That's what Wipeout came from, because he was actually running.
Right. And very, very much a procedural thing. Don't shoot the drummer. That's not allowed.
Oh, really?
So, well, you know, rules of war. And America was like,
that true?
Well, you're on our turf. Yeah, you know, don't shoot the general. Don't shoot the lead in command. So after a while, America's like, we're going to take out your best fighters.
And your drummer.
And then we're going to run, and it's going to take us a minute and a half to reload our musket, and we're going to get you again.
That's why drummers now have such big drum sets, you can't see them.
Yeah, it's weird. They would they would stand in line.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, bing, 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 bing.
All in a straight line.
Like the duck game. Boom, boom,
march
boom,
in
boom.
Unison.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was also the resurgence of America using knives and their bayonets. You know, it wasn't just shoot, reload, shoot. It was shoot, run, be scary.
Okay. That works.
So that before we got to that point, America, you know, the 13 colonies, they got tired of the taxes. They got tired of being told what to do and shipping the best stuff back to England.
All that crap, yeah.
And it was the Declaration of Independence that started all that, right? It's Philadelphia.
Right. So, you know, you had a bunch of older statesmen gathering in Philadelphia in the state house for a week straight during the hottest month in America, and they were arguing back and forth, and they decided on the 2nd, not the 4th, to say, hey, Britain, shove it. You know, John Hancock, big signature. You could see a signature across the room without wearing the glasses.
It's true.
We were all of a sudden, you know, a free nation, but we still had to win a war. So, you know, you fight it for 7 years, and then
seven years, wow. Man.
Yep.
Brutal.
A lot of muskets.
Now, just think that about how brutal the winters then. Were.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting those wars. Oh,
yeah, they didn't have, like, North Face and stuff like that back then, no.
No, and you know what the best thing about the winter is? Pine trees. So the soldiers would create what was called birch beer, which is basically pine needles, water, and anything else that they could put in their canteen.
Wow.
And that was the delicacy.
Man, that men were men.
Smelled like pine sole.
Wow.
Yeah. Clean, fresh scent, though.
Listen, always
when
goes
I pee,
down
it smells
smooth.
Like a Christmas tree.
Right.
It's so clean. The original. Hey, we should hang these in cars someday. When we invent cars.
Exactly, right. Someday we'll need a vehicle for these.
Yeah, that would be George Pine Sol. Great, nice. Great soldier.
Right. He's a patriot.
Wow. All right, so fast forward back to this war.
So the war ends, and everybody's surprised. You know, it takes a couple different states a long time, but we end in, you know, New York, and after that, the states.
What do you mean we end in New York?
So Yorktown, last bold fight, we win it, and they surrender. Cornwall, their lead general, submits, and they all go home. There's a couple of trials, but it's pretty expedited, you know. The British are just as beat as the Americans.
What was the significance of Yorktown? Why was that the last one?
Well, New York was the key. New York was always the key. It always had the ports. It always had the land. I mean, a lot of people forget New York is one of the largest landmass states that we have in America. So by recapturing and, more importantly, getting the lion's share of British ammunition, it was done. It was over because the South went pretty quick after that.
Wow.
So everybody folded. It was white flags everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what do we do with them? Did the soldiers stay here? Did they go back to England?
A lot of them were just kind of like, yeah, I just want to go home. And they sent them home. You know, there were trials. There were people put in jail. But at the end of the day, America had bigger fish to fry, and they needed to come together and start to write laws and work as a team again, which didn't really work well. I mean, you had some states wanting to stay as nations. Georgia didn't want to sign. Delaware didn't want to sign. You know, there was a lot of difference between the North and the South, much like today. You know, there's not a lot of agreement. So there was a lot of compromise, and they came together in 1783. And that's kind of when the sense of being a nation came together. You know, you had George Washington. They asked him, will you be our king? And he's like, we kind of had that. Let me just be in charge. But, like,
isn't that amazing?
Have some friends.
That he did have that option?
Yeah, he said, nah.
Well,
I'm good.
And pretty much, be our king until you die. We don't know what to do. And he very much, as a non-religious, non-political person, was just like, I can help you, but I want Jefferson's help. I want Adams' help. I want Knox's help.
I
want Hamilton's help.
Yeah.
Right. And they created the first cabinet, and pretty much the greatest cabinet to ever exist.
It's just amazing to me that he had that option.
Yeah.
Like, he could have just been in power the whole time.
Pounded the hair for the crown.
He knew what was right. He was a great general, too. Yeah,
he was. Snappy dresser, too.
He was a very snappy dresser. He had those wooden teeth.
Exactly right. With those tight pants and that blue jacket.
Is that true, the wooden teeth thing?
I have no idea.
I
think we talked about
it. It was made about anything.
Yeah.
So wooden teeth, maybe, but definitely dead people's teeth?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Sort of.
Great. Let him go to waste?
Hi, you have a nice smile. I'll take it.
The way that I read it was foraged teeth. which is just like any I can find anywhere lying around, I'll take them.
Right. And what do? You just
it's a gloom in place.
They were foraging in the cemetery, so you'd go to your local doctor, which was a catch-all because he probably was the bartender and the farmer too.
Yeah, and your haircutter,
Wow.
Yeah, and everybody had, unfortunately, dead bodies where they knew to have access.
Right.
So you'd go and you'd dig one up and you'd grab a tooth that kind of looked like the dead tooth and you swap them out.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a parts car, and you're working on a car from junkyard, And they
Right,
it's
right.
Interesting. Well, farmers don't like to waste anything.
No, they don't,
You know, Washington had a teeth guy.
He did.
That's wild.
And a horse tooth.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because there were no funeral parlors back then, so... I owned a salt box, a replica of a 17th century house.
That was a cool house.
And there was a door, in, not the front door, but a side door that was wide enough for a casket. And this is where you bring in your family member.
Yeah,
you put them on display in your house, and then you'd bury them out in the back.
In the yard, yeah. Everything's done at home.
There you go.
Yep. One last dinner with them, use them as a table. Yep.
And only on Sundays. So God forbid if you died on a Monday, you're stinking up for 6 days.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, fantastic.
Yeah, but let's also remember that there's no deodorant back then. You're all wearing wool clothes. None of you smelled good back then.
That's true.
No.
Like,
yeah.
No one smelled good back then.
Yeah, like bath week, like once a week into the bath.
Yeah.
The tea they dumped in the harbor was supposed to be horrendous, actually. Horrendous smelling.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It was like aged black tea. And, for dumping $1 billion worth of tea, they kind of just destroyed their own economy. I have to tell you that the settlers weren't that bright when they did pranks and silly things.
Right. Yeah, sent a message, though.
What's the point? They dressed up like indigenous people.
Yeah.
They went on and they were throwing tea. They were protesting the tax on tea, correct?
Yeah. I mean, they had met at a local tavern, a local pub. They had had too many. Some people did put face paint on and dress
Wait a minute. Hold it. People in Boston were in a pub and drank too much?
No.
The hell you say?
I know.
So this started a long time ago.
This is no hearsay.
It sounds far-fetched and a little off, but trust me, historically accurate. You will find evidence of this anywhere you go in Boston today.
The tradition carries on.
Yes, it does.
It's all about history.
I hear you.
So why July 4th? And not
so
the 2nd?
More or less, they signed on the 2nd, and they continued for months to have different states and delegates sign. But they met together later, America as a country in the late 1800s, 1870, to kind of commemorate 100 years of sort of kind of being a country. So they always wanted to honor that. And, a lot of times honoring the dead or veterans would be a fireable offense. So, you take out your cannon, you take out your guns, and you fire them into the air, hope nobody's in the next neighborhood.
Right.
And, you celebrate. You'd roast some animals. You'd have some tea or even some ale. And then, eventually it became, let's cook out. Let's use fireworks. So, it just expands over time, just different celebrations.
I thought the fireworks represented what Francis Scott Key saw in the sky.
The rockets in there.
The battle.
Yeah.
The bombs burning in there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's representation. It's art. It's music, because why not honor people with loud explosions?
Right.
Mm. You sound like you think this is all stupid.
You're being sarcastic.
No, no, he's fine.
So bring us through the history of the Star Spangled Banner. What battle was that? And
I know it's Francis Scott Key.
So
good for you, AJ.
So, yeah, Francis Scott Key was visibly underneath a ship. Francis Scott Key had hid and looked out from the boat and just saw mayhem. You saw people dying, bombs bursting in air, but a small tattered flag remained after, I want to say, 36 hours of kind of hiding.
Wow.
And, it you know, and a lot of musicians take liberty. I don't know how much Scott Key saw because, you know, I can't talk to him, but it was a rally cry. Very much after that was written, a lot of people sang it. A lot of people were reading it. Remember, there was no mass media, so if somebody printed something and was handing it around, everybody in the town read it. So why not write a song, a rally cry about being American? You know, it was like the first USA chant.
It's pretty cool. It's a great song.
Yep.
It still has a lot of meaning today.
Absolutely.
Teacher Kyle, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and I hope everybody has a nice 4th. Just remember, the new nurse rotations have started, so if you blow off your hand, you're probably getting a 3-day nurse.
Gotcha.
That's a good point.
Good to know.
Be careful. Thank you, Kyle.
All right. Have a great one. Take care.
You too. Thank you.